Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. We are sharing on the topic of faith. Now, we're looking at faith in the light of the New Testament, in the light of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So this might be a little bit radical, it might be a little bit different to what you used to, but I promise you, this is liberating. This is just so powerful. It brings forth the power of God into your life. Now, I just want to recap on what we said in the previous four sessions. What we've said is this: faith is not something you do, it is something that happens to you. It's like fear. Fear is not something you cognitively decide to do. It's something that happens to you if you just get the right information. Or, let me put it this way, if somebody comes to you and tells you, the bird flu is out in South Africa, and the half of the nation is going to die because of the bird flu. You know what happens in our hearts? It's just, you don't confess, say, well, I'm going to fear now, I'm going to try to fear, I'm pushing forward fear. No, that's not what you do. You just find yourself in fear. Now, I'm talking about somebody that doesn't know the finished work of Jesus and has made that the foundation of their life. Fear is just all over you. You just feel, this is not, oh, I must watch out, I shouldn't eat any chicken, I shouldn't. And you just full of fear. That fear wasn't something you tried to do. It just happened to you. It flowed out of the information you received. That's it. Now, we need to have the right information. Having the right information about something produces God's faith. It brings forth God's faith. Now, how will we get God's faith? The way we'll have God's faith is by having His reasoning and having His persuasion. If you can be persuaded of God, if you can know what God knows about a certain situation, you will be in faith, you'll be persuaded like He is, and there'll be belief in your heart, a trust in your heart. Hallelujah. I've got good news for you. We cannot believe for something. We believe in someone. Thank you, Jesus. So many times we've projected our faith towards stuff instead of projecting it towards God. And that's why faith was such a thing that's just so confusing, so difficult to understand. Faith is the easiest thing to understand. It's the easiest thing to have. It is easy to believe because you cannot believe by yourself. I want to ask you this. Is it difficult to experience pain when you put your hand on a stove plate that's red hot? It's not difficult to experience pain. It comes easily. It's naturally. It just flows like that. Now, I want to just say this. In the same way, it's not difficult to have faith. If you put your heart upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, man, it happens like that. As easy as what it is for you to experience a pain or that burning sensation when you put your hand on a red hot stove plate, it's the same ease, it's the same effortless experience to have faith when you put your heart on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to know what Jesus has done. He wants you to say, listen, you've got faith when you receive stuff. That's not the truth. He'll put stuff in front of your eyes, and that's what we'll do. We'll put stuff in front of our eyes, that car, that house, all of that. And if I can receive that, that means I've got faith. That's not the truth. Let me tell you the truth. Look at Jesus. Look at His finished work. Listen to His good news. And once while you listen to His good news, while you listen to His unconditional love and what He's done for you in Jesus Christ, persuasion will come in your heart. The moment you get persuaded of what He's done, trust will happen to you. You'll believe in your heart, and out of that will flow the issues of life. Oh, hallelujah. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4 and from verse 20. This is so powerful. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. So what does he say? He says that we should keep His word and His sayings in our hearts. We should meditate upon it. We should believe it. How will we do that? He says here, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to them that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does he say? Listen and look. Listen and look at the Word of God. That's how you keep it in your heart. Now, why is it so important to keep the thing in our heart? Explain to me, Bertie. This is what he says. He says, what I say, my sayings, listen to it. Let me give you a good example of a saying. A good saying is this. Faith is not something you do, it's something that happens to you if you are persuaded of, if you listen to what Jesus has done. Faith is not something that you do, it's something that happens to you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it says in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces or issues that drives your life. You know, we can still look into that scripture in Romans chapter 10. It says, with a heart we believe unto righteousness. Now, there's a difference, and we've looked into this, between faith, hope, and belief. The word faith literally means persuasion. To be persuaded of something because of an argument to the point that it influences your will. That is faith. Faith is to be persuaded. Hope is to have a confident expectation. Now that can only happen after you have believed. The word believe means to trust. To trust. Now, a practical example. If, say, there's a couple, let's name them John and Mary. John and Mary has been married for 5 years. Everything goes well. All of a sudden, Mary hears one of her friends saying that John is hanging out with Sarah. Man, Mary comes home. She corners John, say, John, what do I hear? John says, the first thing, that, let me put it this way. The moment Mary heard the story from her friend, she still believed her husband. Because for 5 years, only good was seen from her husband. She trusts him because of what she has seen from him. She comes to John. John, what is this? No, it's not the truth, man. I just spoke to her. Nothing happened, you know, all of that. And what happens? Mary still trusts John. Doesn't matter, you know, what she's heard. She still trusts John. But if Mary hears from Sarah and Brenda and this one and that one, the same story, you know what's going to happen? As the first time, she still trusted her husband because she only heard from one person. She was not persuaded that what Sarah told her was the truth. But the moment she hears from more than one and she gets persuaded of what they say, if the information she received, if she's persuaded of that, she'll have no more trust in her husband. Now that's the difference between faith and trust. Faith is that what you get persuaded of. Faith is persuasion, man. You get information. The moment that information, you start to understand what you see, that is called faith. You are persuaded. What you are persuaded of is 100% linked with what you believe, what you trust. She will not believe her husband anymore. There's no more faith. But if he can come with another argument and he can convince her, bring forth faith in her, she will trust him. She will believe in him. Now you must remember, with a heart you believe. That's why it's so important to hear the good news. Man, we must get out of a wrong understanding of who God is. We cannot use words like, God's going to test you. God's going to put you through a hard time to teach you something, because it will change what we believe. And out of your heart flows the forces that drives your life. Remember what God says, without faith, without the right persuasion that comes by what Jesus has done, we cannot be pleasing unto God, because those that come to God must trust Him and believe Him. You know, so many times I've seen, I've preached that myself, we preach a gospel that does not promote trust. It doesn't promote trust. It doesn't promote a resting of the mind. Let me just read to you the definition of the word trust or belief. This is the Webster's, the Greek says, let me put it this way, the Greek says that believe means to entrust or to trust. Now, the Webster's meaning of the word trust is this: reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or sound principle of another person. Now, belief is when you can trust somebody else, you can rest your mind in his integrity. Now, let me give you an example. So, I've got a good friend, and I trust him. I rest my mind in his integrity. Now, if he would go to my enemy and he would partner up with my enemy to do something wrong to me or orchestrate a situation in my life that is not nice, he comes and he organizes my car to be stolen just to see what I'll do in that situation. You know what? His integrity, there's something wrong with. He doesn't have integrity. He can't even spell integrity. He's got nothing to do with integrity. You know what's going to happen? I will not be able to rest my mind in his integrity. That means I will not believe him anymore. I will not trust him anymore because he doesn't have integrity. One day he's for me, the next day he's against me. The one day he says he's my friend, the next day he gets me in a hard situation to teach me. That's not a friend. That's not a person with integrity. But that's what we believe of God. And now we look at God. We teach teachings like God's going to put you through a hard time to teach you. God's going to take you through the desert. And man, even if there's some of my friends that hear this, I'm not against you. I just believe I want people to believe in God. I want them to rest their minds in God. I want my mind to rest in His integrity. God is for me, man. He's not against me. So many times we don't know how to explain hard times, and we want to put God as the orchestrator of this. This is not God. The Bible says don't be deceived. Only what is good comes from God. Hallelujah. Now, if we get into all those type of teaching, you know what's going to happen? You will not be able to trust Him. You will not be able to rest your mind in Him. You believe Him for something good that's going to happen. You believe something good must happen. Why will it happen? No, because I believe this good thing is going to happen. That's not why things happen. It's like I asked the one lady, I said in the previous broadcast, I said, she said, no, she loves the promises. I say, why? She says, no, because it's wonderful. I said, what makes you believe that that promise will come true? Because that's the foundation of all things. What makes you believe that promise will come true? There's a promise in the Bible. There's something that says, by His stripes I've been healed. What makes me believe that comes true, will come true in my life? God's integrity. God, who He is, the fact that He's a God of integrity, that He's a God of veracity. Remember what we said the word veracity means. It means the habitual observance of truth or habitual truth in a person's life. What makes me think that any of the promises in the Bible will come true? What makes me think that the promise in the Bible that we can be blessed financially will come true in my life? You know what makes it come, makes me believe that? The integrity of God. God's habitual observance of truth. God habitually looking at Jesus Christ, what He's done. That gives me peace and that makes me think that it will come true. And that is belief. The Bible says the moment you're persuaded of that, the moment that belief enters your heart. What is belief? The moment we can get our minds to rest. Our hearts believe. And the good news of Jesus Christ has been designed to get your mind to rest. Your heart only believes. Now, we're not talking in a negative sense. I just want to get this in the positive, in the gospel sense. Your heart does not believe until your mind rests. That's why the Bible says, enter into the rest. labor to enter into the rest. How do you labor to enter into the rest? I labor. I read the word. I only listen to good news teaching on television. You know, when it's not good news, I switch it off. I change the channel. Do you know why? Because I labor to enter into the rest. Because when my mind rests in what? In the integrity, in the veracity, in the fact that God only observes the truth in Jesus and deals with me accordingly, in God's justice. It is reliance or the resting of the mind in the integrity, veracity, habitual observance of truth, the justice, friendship, or sound principle of another person. Now, if I believe in God, I rest my mind in His friendship. Hallelujah. Say my wife's car breaks down in town. And I, you know what will give me rest? What gives me rest is the fact that I know there's a friend out there that can quickly go and help her. I can phone him and say, my friend, can you please just help my wife there? I'm out of town. I can't help her. Belief, trust is knowing the type of person he is, knowing his veracity, knowing his integrity, knowing his friendship. The fact that I know that he is my friend makes me have rest and will bring forth help in her life because of the trust I have in somebody else. But do we see God as a friend, or do we see him as this taskmaster or somebody that wants to try and change us all the time? Let me tell you something. There's so many teachings out of the Word of God that we... I don't want to say the Word of God. I want to say the Bible. There's so many teachings out of the Bible that doesn't promote or say that God is your friend. You know, let me tell you this. If I tell you, no, I'm your friend, but I break your stuff. And you say, but why are you breaking my stuff? No, don't look at that. I'm your friend. You know what's going to happen? You're going to believe that I'm the enemy, man, because of what I do. It's exactly the same with God. So many times we say, no, God's your friend, but He leads you into the desert. It makes you not trust Him. You know, if I go through a hard time, if I want to... So many times we say, you know, God cannot bless us if we've got this wrong thing or that wrong thing or that wrong thing in our lives. God cannot bless me with finances. God cannot bless me with anything if I've got anything wrong in my life. Say, I want a nice car. Now you want to just use that car to drive in town to look nice to your friends. God cannot give you that car. You know what? It sounds so good. But what the belief that it portrays is something else. What people believe is that God acts towards you based on who you are and not based on who He is. That's the belief that's portrayed. That's it. If I tell you, I'll only forgive you if you come and say to me, you're sorry. You know what happens? You believe that I am a grudge-holding person. You might say, no, Bertie, I believe that you will you're a forgiving person. No. What if you take 6 months to come and say sorry? You will believe that I'm bearing a grudge. That's it. You believe that I act towards people if they do the right thing. That's why it's so important to understand the good news, to be persuaded of Jesus. It doesn't help we feed people the law. It doesn't help you feed yourself the law. You feed yourself do's and don'ts and then try to trust God to see good in your life. You'll never see that. You'll always be... Man, you'll be frustrated, man. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how to say this. I just want to go around this point all the time just so we can sort of see the picture. If somebody goes through hard times and is orchestrated by his best friend to bring forth something better in him, my friend, I tell you, there'll be no trust there. Nothing. The Bible says we must believe that He is a rewarder. That word rewarder means to pay by giving freely. So what we must believe, we must have information that can bring forth a belief system that says God gives freely. Now if any information that you feed yourself that doesn't promote that belief that God gives freely, that God has done it, you know what? That information is wrong and off the devil. If the teaching you hear doesn't promote trust or belief, you should not have it close to you. Let me read this. It says, if the teaching, and I want to say this, if the teaching you hear doesn't promote God's integrity, don't listen to it. It's not from God. When you feed yourself information that speaks of a God of integrity, a God that habitually observes the truth, a God of justice. Hallelujah. Yeah, Bert, but there you see justice. You know what I believe justice or God being just means? It means He's just good. You might say, but that's a wrong interpretation. Go to Romans chapter 8 and look at the God of justice. Who can bring in any accusation against the elect of God? Is it God who sets free, who justifies? Hallelujah, that's God's way of justice. If it's not teaching that promotes good friendship, that God is friendly with you, that He's your friend, you cannot trust Him. I tell you, you need to get into teaching, you need to get into the Word of God, you need to get into a place where you can say, my God, I believe what Jesus has done. I know what He's done. I observe what He's done. I see His freedom. I see what He's done. My reasoning is changing. I start to reason like God. I start to reason on the sound principle that He works. Let's read this thing again. Trust is to have confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity or habitual observance of truth, justice, friendship or sound principle of another person. So what it says is we need to have the sound principle thing that God lives by in our minds, and that's when we will rest. I want my mind to rest. I don't want my mind to be worried. And that's what I feel the Bible says doubt is to think with a double mind. You've got one thought pattern that says God is good. Now you've got a thought pattern that says He's going to put you through hard times to teach you. The one that says God's going to take you through a hard time to teach you. The one that says if you obey all things right, then God will bless you. That is not belief promoting doctrine. It produces fear. It produces unbelief. Now, so many times we want to preach the law. I want to tell you this. The law produces unbelief in your heart. It makes you believe that God cannot bless you. It makes you believe that you cannot prosper. Now, the law produces unbelief, but Jesus Christ produces the right belief. And out of the heart flows this belief. Out of the heart flows this force of life. Let's close off with reading the scripture in Proverbs 4 again, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Put away from your fraud mouth and perverse lips. Put it far from you. Now what it says is, keep your heart in that which God has freely given to you in Jesus. Look at Jesus and you'll be full of faith. You'll be full of belief and you'll see God's power in you, happening to you. Good things just happening to you, not you seeking after it. Thank you for listening. Make use of our ministry products and God bless you.